AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, we're going to continue looking at the Hermetic writings, and we're going to be reading actually a writing that is titled To Asclepius. And Asclepius is this figure here. He is the Greek god of medicine. And for that reason, you see him holding that staff, the rod of Asclepius, which is known as the symbol for medicine today. Even though a lot of people confuse it with the rod of Hermes, it's actually, this rod is the proper rod of medicine or symbol of medicine that's used today. He was a Greek god who was really good at medicine. He was able to do a lot of things, including revive people back from the death. And he was deified after his death. He became worshipped. There was a cult that was formed around it. His name, actually, and his father's name, Apollo, both appear in the Hippocratic Oath, which used to be taken on the people a long time ago before it was modified for modern times. And their names were both dropped. The practitioner was required to initially swear by Apollo and Asclepius before they went on to practice medicine. Asclepius appears in the Hermetic writings actually as a student of Hermes. And so the discourse that we're going to be going over tonight is a conversation that was recorded, kind of like what took place with Mufaddal ibn Umar and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in Hafs al-Sharif. In this discourse, it's a discourse between Asclepius, who is the student, and the teacher Hermes. But before we get into that, let's just make a quick review over what we went over in the last episode, because a lot of these discourses are kind of heavy packed and they're connected together, so it's important. So in the last lecture, we basically spoke about how Hermes taught that, or was taught by the man shepherd, that the Father, the One, the True God, the Hua, the Creator of all things, he was unintelligible. It was impossible to get to know him or to get to understand him. So he had to express himself or manifest himself in a different way. So he manifests himself as the divine mind in order that the people may comprehend him in one way, shape, or form. The divine mind ends up having a will. This will moves forward from him. The divine mind also creates a formative mind, or there's a manifestation, an additional manifestation that takes place, which is this formative mind, which is delegated the affairs of the universe. We spoke about how that actually parallels precisely the teachings of Imam Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi salam in the Book of Monotheism in such a stunning way, really, if you think about it. And we have in the place of the Father, the One who is unknown, right, that can't be comprehended, you have Huwa, this concept that we have in the traditions of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, and in the Book of Monotheism, this description that we have of God, the true God, the God that is above every description, every imagination. And he too must make himself known, just in the same way that the Father had to manifest himself as the divine mind. Ahmed al-Hassan al-Islam says that the Huwa also had to manifest himself as Allah, or this collective city of divine attributes. And that's why we have Allah. We're able to know Allah by his names, by his characteristics, by his attributes. He is the most generous, he is the most high, he is the most wrathful, etc. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having a will, just in the same way that the divine mind has a word or has a will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has a word, has speech, has a will, right? And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates his most beloved, which here the divine mind created the formative mind. We have the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating this light, this initial light of the Ahlul Kisa, the light of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad alayhi wasalam. So what is this mind now? This mind, what is it? Let's try to understand it before we go into the writings and just kind of come to a conclusion without a shadow of a doubt. For clarity, the mind is a spirit. So when we're talking about the mind, we're talking about a spirit. And this is proven by the words of Abu Abdullah Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, when he said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the intellect, the mind. It was the first of these spiritual creatures. So it was a spirit, and it was the first of all spirits, and it existed to the right of the throne from his light. Okay, so do we have any doubt that now the mind is a spirit? Okay, the spirit is God's spirit. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said regarding the Almighty's saying, and I breathed into him of my spirit. He said, it is a spirit that God chose, selected, created, and ascribed to himself. And he preferred it over all other spirits. Then he commanded, and from it was breathed into Adam alayhi salam. So what do we know now? We know that the mind is a spirit. It was the first of the spiritual beings, the most preferred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mind, or the spirit of the mind, the spirit of God, it's also called that, was the same spirit that was blown into the caliphs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God's spirit is the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, we are the spirit of Allah and his words, and by us he veiled himself from his creation. Okay? So we're just establishing a few important points before we move forward. God's spirit is massive in size. It's huge. The Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam said in one narration, God did not create a creation that is greater than the spirit except for the throne, right? But the throne is not a spiritual creature because the mind was the first of the spiritual creatures. So God did not create a creation greater than the spirit except for the throne. And if the spirit had willed to swallow the seven heavens and the seven earths in one bite, it could have. So this is an immensely large, gigantic, huge spirit in size. God's spirit actually contains in it all of creation. Imam Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi salam said in the book of monotheism, as in regards to a certain rank lower than the divine essence or Allah, meaning in the ranks of the creation and the descending, the ranks of manifestation and statuses are 10. And they are the Suradik, the wall of the greater throne, and the greater throne, and the chair, then the great throne. And within it, meaning within the great throne, there are 7 ranks or statuses. And they are the 7 skies / 7 heavens, descending from the 7th heaven to the 1st heaven, or the sky heaven of dunya, this world. and the page of existence of the best of creation of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, his existence extends from the Siradiq, from the wall of the greater throne, all the way to the heaven sky of this world. So the first stage of the stages of manifestation is the first da', the barzakh, or the Siradiq of the greater throne. Then the second stage of manifestation is the container of the noon, the Arabic letter noon, which looks like a container with a da' on top of it, or the greater throne. Then the third level of manifestation, and that is the container of the ba', the Arabic ba', which looks like a container with a da' underneath it, or the chair. Then the fourth level of manifestation, that is the second da' in the creation. And all of these four levels are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, for he is the da' of the noon and the noon, he is the ba' and the da' of the ba', or say he is the flood, the overflow, which is coming down from the truth upon creation. And he, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in the first three stages, the Siradiq, the throne, the chair, is a barzakh, he's a veil, a connector between the truth and the creator, the truth and creation. For he flaps, so 1 hour remains none but Allah, al-wahad al-qahar, and in 1 hour he returns back to the I, the ego, the character. As in regards to the rank of the great throne, he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, is stable in creation, and he is the servant of Allah. So here's a little bit of a map to help you kind of visualize what was being said in a more coherent, simple way. And I apologize, I'm not the greatest of artists, but I tried my best here. You have at the top, you have the noon. You see it. It's the little kind of container with the dot on top of it. And then you have underneath it the ba', which is the same as the noon, except the dot, instead of being at the top, it's at the bottom. And then you have these seven squares, okay? So each one of these seven squares, starting from the bottom upwards, that are numbered 1 through 7, each and every one of those represents one of the heavens. And we know that there are 7 heavens. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All of those 7 heavens, they exist within the point where it says Muhammad is the servant of Allah, the great throne. They all exist within it. And so if you count those plus the 3 at the top, you get 10 ranks or 10 statuses. Okay? So essentially, what's being said is what? Is that above that first world, that first realm, which is represented by that da', which says next to it, the Siradiq, on the other side is God Almighty. All right, that's the da' where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi reached, where he peeked through the veil and was able to communicate with God. He's the only one that reached there, and he dissolved within that world, and he became large enough to contain all other worlds. Okay, good. Imam Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi salam continues, and you must pay attention to the fact that the first da' is the Qur'an, okay? And it is the veil between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the opening occurred, he looked into what Allah willed from the light of greatness, the size of the eye of a needle. He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed we have opened for you, O Muhammad, a clear opening. In Surah Al-Fath, verses 1 through 2. This veil was lifted because Muhammad encompassed it. He contained it. So the Quran was the veil between God and between creation. Muhammad became a perfect manifestation of everything that was in the Quran. He became the Quran, so therefore he became the veil. So the Quran and Muhammad became one. And when he was flapping between non-existence, and so remained none but Allah, the one, the conqueror, and between his return to the I and the human character. So if we came to know what has been presented, it would be clarified to us that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is the rank of the barzakh, the truth and the creation. And that is why when Abraham alayhi salam and the angels saw him, they imagined and thought that he was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is because he is an image that simulates, describes, expresses the divine essence and shows the absolute divine to the creation in order that they may know. And by your rise in Sa'ir, the dua says, and your appearance in Mount Faran. And so he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Allah created Adam upon his image. And so these are ranks. You can, when you pass away, what happens? You can reach those ranks. If you're good, you go to the first heaven. If you're good, you enter into paradise. But if you're really good, you can go up to the second heaven. If you're really good, you go to the third. Muhammad went all the way to the top. He reached that final rank. He contained it. He became it. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the dot of the bat. Okay, so if Muhammad is the dot of the noon, we have Imam Ali alayhi salam being the dot of the bat, the second dot, the lower one that is right above the seven, right? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, everything in the Quran is contained in Al-Fatiha. Everything in Al-Fatiha is contained in Bismillah. Everything in Bismillah is contained in the letter Ba', and everything in the Ba' is contained in the Da', and I am the Da' beneath the Ba'. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, he clearly states it openly that he is that. He is at that rank. He is at the rank of Muhammad as the servant of Allah. Every imam actually is the Da' of the Ba'. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, do not be amazed at God's power. I am Muhammad. See, the rank is what? Muhammad is the servant of Allah. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, do not be amazed at God's power. I am Muhammad and Muhammad is I. And Muhammad said, O my people, do not be amazed at God's command. I am Ali and Ali is I. We are all one from a single light. And our spirit is by God's command. Our first is Muhammad. Our middle is Muhammad. Our last is Muhammad. We are all Muhammad. And in another narration, it states, O Salman, we are God's secret that is never concealed, his light that is never extinguished. Meaning there's always somebody in every day and age who reaches the dot of the bat. And his favor that can never be repaid. Our first is Muhammad, our middle is Muhammad, and our last is Muhammad. Whoever knows us has perfected the upright religion. O Salman and O Jundub, I am Muhammad. We're a light, glorifying God before all things that glorify, and shining before created beings. Then God divided that light into two halves, a chosen prophet and an approved successor. God, mighty and majestic, said to one half, be Muhammad, and to the other half, be Ali. For this, the Prophet ﷺ said, I am of Ali, and Ali is of me. None conveys on my behalf except me or Ali. And to this points his saying, and our souls and your souls, or ourselves and yourselves, an indication of their unity in the realm of spirits and lights. Imam Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi salam said, all of the religion of Allah is almost one matter with which he has started the creation of the earthly human being. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned it in his saying, verily I'm making a successor on earth. All of the Quran is in al-Fatiha. All of al-Fatiha is in the Bismillah. All of the Bismillah is in the Ba'. And the Ba' is in the Dot. And the Dot is Ali alayhi salam. The Prince of the Believers said, I am the Da'. And what was the Prince of the Believers, alayhi salam, other than he was the successor of Allah on his earth? Therefore, the Da' and the Ba' and the Bismillah and the Quran and all of the religion is the successor of Allah in his land. And the Quran and all of the religion is the testament and the covenant which have been taken upon the servants, that they may obey the successors of Allah. And Allah placed it in the base stone, or the black stone, or the cornerstone, or the cutoff stone from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, in order to demolish the supremacy of the shaitan and the tyrant. So true monotheism, Imam Ahmad al-Hassan al-Islam said, and true monotheism is not achieved by obtaining words and meanings. Rather, it is achieved by working and dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until the servant becomes the face of Allah, the glorified in his earth, or Allah in creation. Which basically means what? That your path on Tawheed, your path on monotheism, will never be over until you reach the highest rank that you can reach, until you become a caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. And Imam Ahmad al-Hassan alayhi salam emphasized on this, and he said, and upon this did Allah create man. He created him for this purpose, to reach the highest degree. And for the human being is an image of the divine, just like in the Hermetic writings. So let not a servant of Allah, let not any of you, miss his luck, miss his chance, and say, this rank is veiled from me, meaning it's not possible that I can reach this rank. Rather, the truth is, I say to you, it is a door which is open for everyone, and it will not be closed until the rise of the hour, and the loser is who misses his luck or chance. So, once again, what do we have here? We have the Father manifesting himself in an intelligible way as the divine mind. Out of him comes his word, his will. He manifests himself or creates a formative mind who is over the seven rulers. You have here Huwa manifesting himself in an intelligible way as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a will, and Allah creates Muhammad, and Muhammad reaches the highest rank between creation and between the divine. In another way, we could say it like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Huwa manifests as Allah, and the will is actually the Quran. The word is actually the Quran. The Quran is the words of God, and the Quran is there as a veil between Allah and between creation. Muhammad, the formative mind, reaches unity with the Logos. He reaches unity with the word. It's the same thing. Whatever Hermes was saying is exactly what's written in the Book of Tawheed, and you can also just kind of swap the seven rulers for the seven heavens. Because in Hermetic writings, each one of these seven rulers is actually over. He's ruling one of the seven heavens. And here we are at this drawing once again. And what Imam Ahmad al-Hassan is saying essentially is that Muhammad, he reaches the highest rank and he becomes the container for all of creation. And within him are all of the degrees. And he reaches that rank by dissolving into the Quran and becoming one with it. Just like Hermes said that the formative mind became one with the Logos, same thing is happening here. And the same thing happened with Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he reaches, and the rest of the Ahl Bayt, they reach a degree where they dissolve in Muhammad. And so the first of us becomes Muhammad, all of us become Muhammad, the last of us become Muhammad. And the same thing is obligatory for each and every one of you. That is the point of the purpose of creation, to become as big as you can, as close to God as you can. Is that understood?
Yes.
Okay, let's move on then to the writings, the Corpus Hermeticum, part two, the conversation with Asclepius. Hermes says, Asclepius, everything that moves, doesn't it move in something and by something? Asclepius says, certainly. Hermes says, and must not that in which it moves be greater than the thing moved? So a fish is moving in the sea. Which is greater, the fish or the sea? Okay. Can the fish move without being in something? That's what he's saying. It must. Hermes says, and the mover has more power than the thing moved, right? Because he also has to be moved by something. What's moving the fish? Is the fish itself as a body more powerful, or that which moves it more powerful? And Asclepius says, of course. And the nature of what contains the motion must also be different from the nature of what is moved. Hence, what moves the fish is different than the fish, is different than the water. Completely, Asclepius says. Now, this cosmos, isn't it vast with no larger body than it? Asclepius says, certainly. Hermes says, and massive too, packed with countless mighty structures. In fact, with all bodies that exist. It is. Yet the cosmos itself is a body. It is. And it moves? Certainly. Hermes says, then what must be the size and nature of the space in which it moves? Must it not be far vaster, so that the cosmos has room to continue its course and not be cramped and lose its motion? It must be immense, thrice great. And of what nature is space? Surely, Asclepius, opposite to body, namely, space is bodiless, right? Agreed. So space is bodiless, but what is bodiless? Must it be something divine then, ungenerated, or God himself? Are you following? Okay. If space is something divine, it is a kind of being. If it is God himself, it is beyond being. Better to think of it differently. God is first thinkable for us, not for himself. What is thought is under the power of the thinker. God cannot be thinkable to himself. He is not other than what he is. But to us, he is something else, and so we think him. So he's saying, look, in simple terms, he's saying, you know, it seems like space is God, but wait, it can't be God because we can conceptualize space. God can't be conceived. Therefore, this must be something else that is great, but it's not God himself. If then we think space, let us think it as space, not as God. If we think God, let us think him as the power that actually contains space, but not as space itself. Further, everything moved is moved not in what itself is moving, but in what is stable. And the mover is stationary relative to what it moves. Then how is it, thrice great, that things down here move with things already in motion? You said the wandering spheres, meaning the planets, are moved by the unwandering one. Not with, Asclepius, against. They are moved in contrariety. This opposition turns the resistance of their motions into a kind of rest. Resistance is the rest of motion. Thus, the errant spheres, moving contrary to the inerrant, are moved both by one another through mutual contrariety, and by the stable one through contrariety itself, and it cannot be otherwise. Consider the bears above, Ursa Major and Minor, which neither set nor rise. Do they rest or move? They move, as Asclepius says. He's a little bit confused. It was a little bit deep, so he's trying to gather with Hermes. Hermes is going to explain now. And how do they move? By circling forever around the same. And revolution, motion around the same, is fixed by a kind of rest. The around the same halts the beyond the same. When the beyond is checked and steadied in the around, the contrary stands firm by its very opposition. I'll give you an earthly image your eyes can see. A swimmer. The water moves, yet the resistance of his hands and feet gives him stability, so he's neither carried off nor sunk. A most clear example, thrice great. So all motion is caused in and by station. Therefore, the motion of the cosmos and of every other material living thing is caused not by what is outside of the cosmos, but what is within, soul or spirit, or some other incorporeal power. It is not the body that moves the living thing in it, nor even a dead body that moves another dead thing. What do you mean, thrice great? Don't bodies move stocks and stones and other inanimate things? Now, here's something interesting. He says, no, actually. By no means, Asclepius, that something in the body which moves the inanimate is not itself a body, for it moves both the lifter's body and the thing lifted. A lifeless thing cannot move a lifeless thing. The mover is alive precisely because it moves. So you see how burdened the soul is? It lifts two bodies at once. And it's also clear that whatever is moved both in something and by something. You understand? So basically, all power is coming from the soul. When the people contemplate over Imam Ali alayhi salam and his superhuman strength and how he lifted the gates of Khaybar, right? It was something that no human could have achieved. It's because his body didn't achieve it, but rather he achieved it by the force of his faith, the force of his soul that carried Imam Ali alayhi salam, but also carried the gate of Khaybar, that which Imam Ali alayhi salam was carrying. Yes, thrice great. And here we're moving towards the point of this conversation. What is moved must be moved in something void. You speak well, Asclepius, but nothing that is void. There's no such thing, actually, he's saying. Only the what is not is void and foreign to subsistence. What truly exists cannot become void. He says, what? Then are there no empty casks, empty jars, cups, vats, and the like? Alas, Asclepius, how far you have strayed. Do you think that things most full are void? So he's saying that anything that moves has to move in space, right? In this void. He's saying, yeah. He's saying, but there's no such thing. There's nothing that's empty. There's no such thing as emptiness. So he's like, what are you talking about? You can see empty containers all the time. There's lots of things that are empty. This room right here is mostly empty. What do you mean, thrice great? Is not air a body, Hermes says? It is. And does it not pervade and fill all things? And is not every body a blend of the four elements? Then all you call empty are full of air. And so of the four. Conversely, all you call full are empty of air, since their space is taken by other bodies, and so cannot receive the air. What you call void should be called hollow, not void. They both are and are full of air and spirit. Meaning what? If you take a glass, it's always full of something. It's either full of liquid, which takes the place of the air. And if you pour it out, then it's automatically filled with air, but it's always filled with something. There's no such thing as nothing. And when it is filled with air, it's also filled with something else, and that is spirit. Your argument stands, thrice great. Air is a body, and it pervades and fills all things. Then what shall we call the space in which the all moves? The bodiless, Asclepius. And what is the bodiless? Mind and reason. Whole from whole, all embracing, free from body and from error, not sensed by body nor touched, self-poised in itself, containing all and preserving what is. Its rays, if I may speak by likeness, are good, truth, light beyond light, the archetype of soul. Do you understand what he's saying? What he's saying is that in every square inch of this room, in any space that exists, consciousness is present. And not just consciousness, but the pure consciousness of mind. The super intelligence of mind is ever present everywhere. Wherever you have space, there you have the mind. In fact, everything that exists, all bodies, are constantly surrounded by the perfect intellect or the perfect mind, because they exist within the perfect mind. And so if the perfect mind is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are breathing Muhammad, we're living inside of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, we are eating and drinking Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. Everywhere around us at any given moment is Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. The planets are rotating all around in Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. The universes, the seas are flowing in Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. Asclepius says, then what is God? Hermes says, he is none of these. He is the cause of them, all and each and everything that is. He has left nothing outside himself that is not. All things are from the things that are, not from what is not. God comes from that which is not. He doesn't come from something. Everything else, if you think about it, comes from something. And here you can see an illustration of it. There's a guy that's writing on paper. The paper came from something. Came from the log there that was cut by the lumberjack. Where did that log come from? It came from the tree. Where did the tree come from? The tree came from the seed. Where did the seed come from? It came from the apple or from the source of it, and et cetera, all the way back. Everything has a source. God has no source. Asclepius says, then what do you ever say God is? Hermes says, God is not mind, but the cause that mind exists. God is not. Christians, they got it wrong. They said that Jesus was the Word and the Word was God, right? Some people might think that Imam Ali alayhi salam or Muhammad, that they're God. Asclepius is asking Hermes, what is God? He says, God is not mind, but the cause that mind exists. Not spirit, but the cause that spirit exists. Not light, but the cause that light exists. Therefore, honor God with his proper names, the good and the father. These are names that belong to him alone. No so-called gods, no men, no daemons can be good in any degree. Only God. He alone is good and nothing else. All other things are separable from the nature of the good, for they are soul and body and have no place that can contain the good. And here we have a verse from the Bible in which Jesus reprimands somebody and says, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. The greatness of the good is as great as the being of all things that are, both bodies and bodiless, sensible and intelligible. So do not call anything else good. That would be impious, nor call anything God but the good alone. That too would be impious. So everything that exists is just lesser degrees of evil, lesser degrees of imperfection, lesser degrees of bad, but there's only one who is truly good, if we're going to come down to the essence, the reality of things. Though everyone speaks of the good, not everyone understands what it is. Not only is God not understood by all, but gods and some men give the name good out of ignorance to what can never be good. They differ vastly from God, whereas the good can never be distinguished from him, for God is the same as good. Other immortal beings are honored with the name gods and so called, but God is good, not by courtesy, but by nature. God's nature and the good are one, the one kind from which all other kinds proceed. The good gives all things and receives nothing. Therefore, God gives all things and receives nothing. God is good, and good is God. And that's why we have in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad that when you're praying or you're worshiping, you're actually doing it for your own self. This is not something, there's no deed. Nobody enters into the kingdoms of heavens by their own deeds, because it's impossible to give God anything. You are only giving yourself. God receives nothing and gives everything for free. God's other name is Father because he makes all things. The Father's role is to beget. Therefore, to beget children is a most great and pious thing for those who think rightly. Now listen here, this is important. To leave life without a child is a grave misfortune, an impiety. He who has no child is punished by the demons after death. The punishment is this. The childless soul is condemned to a body with neither man's nor woman's nature, a thing accursed beneath the sun. So, Asclepius, do not sympathize with the childless, but pity their mishap, knowing the punishment that awaits. Let all this be, Asclepius, your introduction to the gnosis of the nature of all things. And so here we have a very important warning. It's incredibly important, and it is basically stating that and validating the commandment in Genesis. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's a commandment. That's the first commandment. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the earth, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Here, Hermes is saying, actually, it's a very strict commandment. It's very important. You have to. It's not optional to not do it. It's actually very unfortunate, and it's impious, a person who decides not to have children. And of course, we'll go over more details of this later, but I just wanted to highlight in this particular phrase. And so people have debated over what the meaning of this punishment is, because obviously they're condemned to a body with neither man's or woman's nature. So does that mean that they're going to come back as some sort of a eunuch or some sort of a hermaphrodite that's neither clearly male nor clearly woman? Is this their next incarnation? It also says that they're a thing that will be accursed beneath the sun. So is it that they will reincarnate to be a demon or to be an animal or something of the likes? But there is a very stern, strong warning that is issued in regards to this. And that is because the whole act, the whole journey of getting close to God is one in which we mimic God and we become like God. And God has this characteristic of being a father, somebody who creates, who reproduces, who makes in his image. And so for one to not, have lived a life where they tried to do the same and mimic this, this is the very basis of the religion that Hermes was preaching and every other religion that came after that. And inshallah, we're going to clarify the meanings behind this a lot more in future episodes, but I don't want to take too much of your time. So let's stop right there, because that's the end of the second sermon, and we will continue inshallah in the next episode. And God bless you guys.